Grab the coin from my hand, Grasshopper.
Yes,
I feel it's very Kung Fu-esque.
It sure is, isn't it? It really is. Dr. John Duffy, one of our favorite guests, joins us. He comes by every other Wednesday, and we talk about the mind, the brain. There's a definite main topic to get to, John, but first, Wendy and I, like once or twice a week, we have something that we go, hey, we have to run that past Dr. Duffy, because he'll know the answer to this. So the other day during the bonus hour, and I don't remember exactly how it came up, but we were talking about repressed memories, certain events in our life, it's easier for us.
Oh, because I don't remember things. My dad died when I was 10, and I don't remember anything.
Right.
Yeah. So explain how that works, because I'm positive that that's a real thing. That's not imagined. But what is the brain doing there where it's repressing memories?
So because, if I may just say, Bill said, you were 10. You should have more childhood memories than I do. I don't really remember anything.
Right. Well, most of us remember before the age of 10 or 11.
10 weeks in Bill's case.
I remember a bunch of stuff from when I was less than... And I was not even 2 years old yet.
That is so unusual.
Yeah.
Are they traumatic memories?
Or, no, but real mundane, everyday things.
You're a nostalgic guy. I can imagine even at 24 months, you might have been thinking like, I better hang on to this.
Yes,
I'll need this. Mr. Ed is not going to be on forever. I'm going to pay attention here.
All right, the example I said to Wendy is, my brother was born when I was almost 2 and a half, not quite 2 and a half, but I can tell you everything that happened from the time I woke up until the time I went to bed that day, like
right?
It was yesterday.
Yeah. Okay, so oddly enough, my brother was born when I was 2 and a half, too.
Yeah.
And I remember it vividly. Before he passed away, I ran that memory by my dad.
Yeah.
And he said, none of that happened. You've got
really?
It wrong.
See?
Yes.
That's what I was telling you. Because I got run over by Ronnie Duvey, and I said, my sister or my family told me about it. So in my head, I'm like, oh, I totally remember when that happened.
Sure.
But you're not remembering it from your experience. It's from your vision of it or something.
Right. Which, sometimes they're more accurate than others. Some kids do get remarkable memories early in life. But the repressed memory often comes from something that is traumatic. And it's this way of the brain is amazing because the mind can compartmentalize something that's like, okay, I'm too young. I can't integrate this into my psyche. I'm going to park it somewhere in the back of my mind, and I'll bring it back up when I'm ready to deal with it. So I don't know when you were talking about repressed memories, if somewhere along the line in adulthood they came back. But if you said they did, I wouldn't be surprised. If they didn't, they may, or they may be unnecessary.
So if it's a defense mechanism, is that blocking?
Exactly.
So with Wendy, let's say she was 10 when her dad died. Mm-hmm. Is that a way of saying it's almost like coding yourself so you almost won't miss him as much?
Yeah.
It's your
way of protecting yourself,
right? From a really traumatic loss, right? Because the 10-year-old mind really doesn't know how to integrate the loss of a parent. I mean, so we kind of put that somewhere else in our mind and we either deal with it at a later date or we don't. Sometimes we do it as adults too. My father died and I was in my 30s and I was in denial for a month or two, kind of not really, it was all but repressed. I knew it was there.
Yeah.
I was well aware of it.
Yeah.
But it took me a long time to the point where I was ready to actually deal with it and have that cry,
I purposely don't remember the date in which my mom died because when I was a kid, the date that her mother died was the worst day of the year for her. All day long, she'd go, this is the day your grandmother died. She didn't want to go out. She didn't want to do anything.
Right.
So my brain has tricked myself into now. I know the month and that's all I know. I purposely don't know the day that she died.
And if somebody approached you with that day, you'd say, no, don't tell me.
No,
that's your defense mechanism.
Yeah,
it's a really potent defense, right? I don't want that anniversary to show up in my psyche, and I don't want that day ruined. I don't want to be having sad memories about my mother. Yeah,
right.
No, that makes a lot of sense. No, the mind is really deft at protecting itself, especially the young mind. I'm always impressed with the childhood mind that is traumatized and still manages to find a reasonably healthy way past it by effectively ignoring it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't understand how that happens. I know I watch a lot of TV and I can't tell what's real and what isn't, but there was some young kid who just had a mom, didn't have a dad, and the mom was a meth head and was pretty much high all the time. And this young kid probably 8 to 10 years old was handling things in the house. Now, again, I don't remember if this was fact or fiction,
right?
But it does happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but imagine the alternative. I always think about it this way. Like, if you think about the alternative, I'm 8 years old and I have to think about the fact that my mother is taking drugs. I'm alone in the world. I've got to figure this out on my own and navigate the world on my own. It is a lot healthier to kind of put that, park that somewhere in the back burner of your mind and just go along your life as if you're eight. You know,
there's
something really, really adaptive about that.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Dr. John Duffy's here. We'll talk more next. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I just thought it was something new that I had
coast
not heard
gutter.
Of.
You got a coast that needs gutting? That's your, the Mackinac is the one to go to.
Dr. John Duffy is with us, clinical psychologist, host of a podcast called Better that he hosts, co-hosts with his wife, Julie Duffy. The Available Parent is a great book to read, and you can find him, drjohnduffy.com. Did we want to talk about something specifically today?
One thing I thought that seems so elemental, but I find that people ignore it far too often, is having kids involved in something extracurricular.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school and even in middle school, there was a little romance to being like a lone wolf. I'm not going to be a joiner. I'm not going to sign up for things. Now I think it's so imperative for kids to be involved in something outside of the classroom. Julie and I, on Better, recently interviewed my son's former swim coach. His name's Scott Walker. A shout out to Scott. And he called the pool a sanctuary where there were no phones. There were no parents talking to the kids. There was no social media. There was no social drama. And there was no classroom drama. And for those couple of hours every single day, all they were focused on is like the backstroke, you know? And I think for kids who are involved in a sport or a play or a group or a club, those few hours of sanctuary are so important right now.
Right.
And we kind of ignore that. And I've worked with too many parents who've said, well, school's so important. I think school can be my kids' thing, but I think our kids need a break from that. And they need something
fun.
Else. They need fun. Yes, they need to be able to play, and kids don't play anymore, right? They're looking down or they're working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned swimming, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a sports team. That's fine, but
yeah.
it can be music. It can be Dungeons and Dragons.
It can be a play. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
The radio station at the school, the television station.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you know, a lot of the things that our kids have been involved in, and just about anything that takes your mind into a different space, because there's so many things that happen there. There's this mentorship that happens, right? Because we can't always get our kids to where they reach their potential. Julie and I, in particular, we never wanted our son George to be uncomfortable.
Right.
And so we never would have said, you're going to get up at 5 a.m. and get in a swimming pool.
Yeah.
I think we would have said, no, you rest. Everything's
right.
fine. You know?
Right.
And meanwhile, there's a coach saying, no, you're going to get in the pool. It's going to be cold. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be mad at me. And somehow there's this grit. You learn something about yourself, then your resilience by doing something, by being in the play that's rehearsing until 10 o'clock at night and you still have homework to do.
Yeah.
And you realize, I can make it through that. I can do that. And I don't know a different way to learn that than by doing things. Being, you know, okay, I got to host a radio show after school and then I got to go do homework and I got to figure all this stuff out,
yeah.
you know?
Well, there's also the aspect of interaction and being around people of a like mind. There's something you have in common with other people.
You feel like you belong.
Yeah.
Right. There's that teamwork elements too, right? You know, like Jasmine and I were talking a little bit about your cheerleading work, right? And that, you know, you're part of this team that's got this common goal, right?
Right.
So you've got to work together. You got to cooperate. And if you think about it, that's a skill you guys are using today, you know, like we use for a lifetime.
Jasmine keeps saying to Wendy and I, we want to get you guys and your guests in the shape of a pyramid at the end of every show. And I'm uncomfortable with that.
You are.
Yeah.
I do want to say, having two boys that are not athletes, and Bill, you mentioned this too, it doesn't have to be sports. I'm noticing that with my kids, the freshman year in high school is where it starts slowly. Like, there's one thing that kind of catches their interest, and when that one thing happens, then it starts branching out with, oh, well, now I'm going to try this. It's that one thing that you have to find that will open the door for you to branch out into other things.
I love the one thing, Wendy, you know, because there's a win in the one thing. It's like, oh, I like this thing. I think I'm good at this thing. It might not be the perfect thing, so I'll go over here and I'll try this out. And then after some period of time, you get this adult, right, who's in charge of the thing, who looks your kid in the eye and says, you're really good at this. Or, you know, you're good at this. You have all sorts of potential. I know you can do better. And that is a big thing for a kid to hear, and they may never hear it in the classroom,
especially
if they underperform in a classroom.
I know this is a sidebar to this, but it's an important sidebar to it. What do you do when your kid says, I've been doing this for 3 weeks, and I got to be honest, I don't think this is for me. Do you make them stick with it, or how do you handle that?
My personal bias on this, I play the parent card here. I don't play it everywhere. I reserve it, like if it's another half hour of Fortnite or Instagram, I'm willing to throw in the towel on that.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of sticking something out, in part because you learn you can do that. Like, I don't really love this thing. It's not the right thing, but I made it through it. I don't love the coach or the director or whatever, but I made it. I succeeded in making it through the season. Now I'll go
through the whole season?
Through the whole season.
If my mom didn't let me quit gymnastics after 3 weeks, I would have killed myself. And I'm not even being funny. I was terrible at it. It was embarrassing. And then I found basketball and loved that more.
Well, okay, so if you find something else you love more, I love the substitute. I can live with, like I'm going to shapeshift and do this thing, but to just opt out, that I think is not a healthy thing for kids.
Because then a kid gets used to that, and all through their life, they go, well, if I don't like something, I can just quit.
Yep, I can just quit, and there's no opportunity anywhere to build my self-esteem, my self-worth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Jazzy, I don't know how you do gymnastics, because I swear to God, that was the worst thing in my life.
It's not that scary. Once you get over the fear, it's fine.
Yeah, no.
You never got over the fear.
No, and I just took this. It was a Riverside Recreation class, and all my friends were really good at it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Mom, I know you spent a lot of money here, but I cannot do it. I can't. It was like I was looking foolish.
Oh, no one wants that.
No, right.
No one wants that.
I worked with a boy not long ago who felt going into high school like he was weak. He joined the gymnastics team. And Jasmine, maybe you can support this. Within a couple of weeks, he felt like, I am mighty as can be. Like his hands were torn to shreds, but he did the Iron Cross for like 3 seconds, and
holy
he thought,
moly.
Oh my gosh, I'm the Hulk,
I can attest to that. I can definitely attest to that. I got my first rip when I was doing gymnastics. Let's see, 10 years old. I've been doing it since I was like five.
What's a rip?
I walked around showing my hands.
So you tear the skin on your hand? Is that what it does?
Right, Jasmine?
Would anybody do that?
Wow. Yeah, the bar and the grip is really hard, so you have to have chalk, and you have to chalk up. That's why you see all the athletes right before they get on the bars and beams to do it.
Yeah.
And wrapping, right? You wrap your hands. But these people, Jasmine would play injured, really injured in the only spot where she's making contact with the apparatus and still going through and doing it.
So the bottom line is find something extracurricular. Don't just
and gymnasts are badass. That's what we're learning today.
This is a fact.
Absolutely. So true. That's Dr. John Duffy. He's our favorite psychologist. He's the show's psychologist is what he is. Certified life coach, parenting relationship expert. And again, better can be heard on WGN Plus.
That's where
people want to
hear that. Absolutely.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.
News is next. Stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN.